Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Praeshu abhadreshu nittam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. Reading from the second canto, chapter 2, text number 4, entitled The Lord in the Heart. Satyam.
Satyam.
Shito.
Shito.
Kim. Kasipo. Maybe I should read the Sanskrit. My eyes are a little bit on the low side. Okay. Excuse me.
Prayasair.
Prayasair.
Bahau.
Maho.
Svasidhe.
Svasidhe.
Hi.
Hi.
Upabarhanai.
Upabarhanai.
Kim.
Kim.
Sati.
Sati.
Anjalo.
Anjalo.
Kim.
Kim.
Purudhana.
Purudhana.
Khatriya.
Khatriya.
Digvalkalado.
Digvalkalado.
Sati.
Sati.
Kim.
Kim.
Dukulai.
Dukulai. Satyam.
Satyam.
Being in possession.
Being in possession.
Shito.
Shito.
Earthly flats.
Earth flats.
Kim.
Kim.
Where is the necessity?
Where is the necessity?
Kashipo. Of beds and cots.
Of beds and cots.
Prayas.
Prayasai.
Prayasai.
Endeavoring for.
Baho.
The arms.
Swasidhe.
Being self-sufficient.
He.
He.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Upabarhanai.
Upabarhanai.
Bed and bedstead.
Kim.
Kim. What is the use?
What is the use?
Sati.
Sati.
Being present.
Being present.
Anjalo. The palms of the hands.
Palms of the hands.
Kim.
Kim.
What is the use?
What is the use?
Paradha.
Paradha.
Varieties of.
Varieties of.
Ana.
Ana.
Etables.
Etables.
Patria.
Patria.
By the utensils.
By the utensils.
Dik.
Dik.
Open space.
Open space.
Valkala ado.
Skins of trees.
Sati.
Sati.
Being existent. Kim.
Kim.
What is the use of?
What is the
use of? Dukulai.
Dukulai.
Close.
Close.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When there are ample earthly flats to lie on, what is the necessity of cots and beds? When one can use his own arms, what is the necessity of a pillow? And when one can use the palms of his hands, what is the necessity of varieties of utensils? When there is ample covering or the skins of the trees, what is the necessity of clothing? Purport. The necessities of life for the protection and comfort of the body must not be unnecessarily increased. Human energy is spoiled in a vain search after such illusory happiness. If one is able to lie down on the floor, then why should one endeavor to get a good bedstead or soft cushion to lie on? If one can rest without any pillow, and make sure and make use of the soft arms endowed by nature, then there is no necessity of searching after a pillow. If we make a study of the general life of the animals, we can see that they have no intelligence for building big houses, furniture, and other household paraphernalia. And yet they maintain a healthy life by lying down on the open land. They do not know how to cook or prepare foodstuff. Yet they still live healthily or healthy lives more easily than the human beings. This does not mean that human civilization should revert to animal life or that human beings should live naked in the jungles without any culture, education, and sense of morality. Any intelligent human cannot live the life of an animal. Rather, man should try to utilize his intelligence in arts, science, poetry, and philosophy. In such a way, he can further the progressive march of human civilization. But here the idea given by Srila Sukadeva Goswami is that the reserve energy of human life, which is far superior to that of the animals, should simply be utilized for self-realization. Advancement of human civilization must be towards the goal of establishing our lost relationship with God, which is not possible in any form of life other than the human. One must realize the nullity of material phenomena, considering it a passing phantasmagoria, and must endeavor to make a solution to the miseries of life. Self-complacence with a polished type of animal civilization geared to sense gratification is delusion, and such a civilization is not worthy of the name. In pursuit of such false activities, a human being is in the clutches of Maya or illusion. Great sages and saints in the days of yore were not living in palatial buildings, furnished with good furniture and so-called amenities of life. They used to live in huts and groves and sit on the flat ground, and yet they have left such immense treasures of high knowledge with all perfection. Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami were high-ranking ministers of state, but they were able to leave behind them immense writings on transcendental knowledge while residing only for one night underneath one tree. They did not live even two nights under the same tree. And what to speak of well-furnished rooms with modern amenities? And still they were able to give us important literatures of self-realization. So-called comforts of life are not actually helpful for progressive civilization. So-called comforts of life are not helpful for progressive civilization. Rather, they are detrimental to such progressive life. In the system of Sanatana Dharma, of the four divisions of social and the four orders of progressive realization, there are ample opportunities and sufficient directions for a happy termination of the progressive life. And the sincere followers are advised therein to accept a voluntary life of renunciation in order to achieve the desired goal of life. If one is not accustomed to abiding by the life of renunciation and self-abnegation from the beginning, one should try to get into the habit at a later stage of life, as recommended by Srila Sukadeva Goswami. And that will help one to achieve the desired success. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshu Emilitan Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchaka Patrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So the Bhagavatam is so powerful. Nittam Bhagavata Sevaya, to regularly hear the transcendental sound of the Bhagavatam. It cleanses, Cheto Dharapana Marjanam, it cleanses the consciousness of all misconceptions. This modern civilization is pushing us in such a direction that is completely antagonistic to the process of self-realization. We are taking on so many unnecessary activities. It's mind-boggling, literally mind-boggling, how complex a society has been created in the name of progress, and how we have become entrapped in that so-called progressive march towards illusion, complete illusion. When we come from India, and especially from Vrindavan, of course, when we first came to Vrindavan, there was one car in the whole town. And it took 2 weeks to make one phone call. You had to book a phone call if you wanted to make a phone. It took 2 weeks. And when Srila Prabhupada was asked, should they have a teletype machine in the temple to send messages, and Prabhupada said, no. It is not necessary, because you will just propagate bad news quickly. Now we have every gizmo and gadget in imagination to propagate that bad information or bad news. And we've got it. When I came out of Vrindavan and I was in the airport in Delhi, the first thing I noticed, everybody had a phone to their ear. Every single person. The janitor, they were talking on the phone. Everybody was talking on the phone. And I was thinking, my God, what is going on? Before, the place was so peaceful. You came into Delhi, 8 o'clock at night, it was dead. Now, it doesn't die. It's 24/7, traffic jams, right? And everybody sitting in the car, one person in the car. Before, you saw one ambassador completely chock full. And now, one person, one car, sitting in the traffic jam for hours together. They could walk to work quicker. When I came here, somebody asked me, Prabhu, they gave me some accommodation down the road. Take the car there. And I thought, take the car? I never take the car anywhere. I just walk to wherever I want to go. Right? I don't even have a bicycle. Why? Because it's not necessary. But we have become addicted to these so-called amenities of life and the complications of these amenities. I'm too busy, Prabhu. Why? I've got to go to work. And what are you going to do? Well, I've got to make money. And why do you have to make so much money? Because I've got to pay for the house. And I have to pay for the car, and the washing machine, and this, and that, and the new computer. And it's on, and on, and on, and on, and on. In Vrindavan, when I have a little farm there, and next door, first when I came there, there were no fences. Everything was open. And the people were living in mud huts with grass roofs. They were all mullies, growing flowers, and they would pick enough flowers for the day, They would go to Bank Vihari or whatever temple they were sitting in front of and sell a few garlands and bus. They grew their own wheat, they had their own chapati, and that was it. The ladies were next door. Had a little fire, wood fire from the trees, from the bare trees. They would snap off the branches, cook the, have a fire there, and they were making their chapati. And I would walk there, no fences, and they would offer me roti, sit down, take a little roti, they had some sabji. Life so simple. What was the pressure? What was the anxiety? None, none. Now, walls everywhere, cement buildings, freezing in the winter, blazing hot in the summer, right? And everybody in anxiety. They got to get the scooter, or the, you know, the latest gizmo and gadget, the phone. For what? The pressure of this so-called civilization moving us in a diametrically opposite direction to where we should be going. We are consuming so much valuable energy to acquire these things we do not need. Just analyze our own lives. See what actually you need. Here it is said, no necessity of a bed. Lie on the ground. No necessity of a pillow. Use your hands. When we first came to the movement 40 years ago, there was a room half the size of this and 40 devotees lying on the floor. There was a line up to the bathroom. There was one bathroom. The window was broken. It was the middle of winter. And the first person got the warm water, and that was it. So we sat there with cold water. But what was it that attracted us to living in such a condition? Harinam. The association of devotees. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. Ananda. The happiness that we're all looking for. That is our birthright. It wasn't in the gizmos and the gadgets. It was in the madanga, the cartels, the holy name, the association of the devotees, the Bhagavatam, prasadam, halava. First time when I came, walked in the door, I never tasted halava before, hot halava and hot milk. I was immediately transferred to another world. Right? And just from that one thing, I never left. Hot halva and hot milk. Right? Life is so, so simple. If we are simple. You know, the Brijvasis, you look at their hands, if anybody knows a little bit about palmistry. No, there's very few lines on their hands. Very simple. You see the average hand now in the West is a billion lines going in every different direction. But the Brijbasi's hands, 1, 2, 3, maybe 4, that's it. Hand completely clean. Why? No entanglements. Simple life. Krishna. Deep in the heart. That's our goal. Our goal is that. That is India. Actually, India, Bharat, civilization of Bharat, is that simplicity. Simple living, high thinking. Prabhupada said in Mayapur, this mud hut, that is for me. That building, that is for you all. Prabhupada was practical because he knew that we had some conditioning to a particular type of lifestyle. So he knew that we were not able to lie on the earth and take our chadar and just put it over us and go to sleep. Like you see sometimes in Braj, they're doing Govardhan Parikram in a bullock cart, jam-packed. And at night, they just find a piece of spot on the ground, throw the chadar over the head, boom. The ladies are carrying the kitchen on their head, children on either side, Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai, Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai, and boom. walking like any. Nobody can keep up to them. All fit. Why? Simple life. Everybody in the city? In the country? Slim and trim. Why? No machines. Where there are no machines, they're not using the machine. They're out there cutting the wheat or working in the, with the vegetable. Simple life, the necessities, a little roti, a little sabji, some dud, right? A little ghee on the chapati. Bas. Life is so simple. What? And a hut, you see, a mud hut. Very nice. You make a nice mud hut, very cool in the summer, very warm in the winter. Just enough place to lie down, because most of the time you spend outside. Why? Cows. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Go Vindaya Go Vindaya Go Vindaya Go Vindaya Go 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 the cows. First thing I noticed when I came here, everybody running. Bicycles. No cows. Where are the cows? Dogs. Everyone's got a dog. No cow. Yesterday, one lady came, very elderly lady, she had this little dog. She said, as we were passing by, Hare Krishna. And I said, oh, you take the name so nicely. I was like, you chant the name Krishna so nicely. So immediately I looked at her dog and I said, what kind of dog is that? And she gave me some names. And I said, I have a dog also. His name's Kalu. But he's just one of the local dogs who's adopted us, right? And he lives on a few rotis a day. He does a little go-seva because at night he sleeps by the cows, and if anybody comes, right, to disturb them, he'll bark, right? And every day I look at Kalu. He comes to Mangal Arti at our Giriraj temple, and he sits there, he listens to Mangal Arti, and when we're chanting our japa, he'll lie there. And as I say, Kalu, you're a fallen sadhu, right? But I know you're going back to Golok. That's it. You're just, you know, spending a little bit of time here to burn off a little karma, and then you're going back to Golok. So I take the dust from your feet. Because you're lying in the dust of Braj all day long. And if I was so fortunate to be able to do that. So I told her about my dog, Kalu, about this dog. She was very nice. I said, you come to the temple. She said, my husband died and I can't leave my dog alone. Right? It's my companion. And I thought, you know, actually our real companion are the devotees. And ultimately, Krishna. So, somehow or other, how we can make some arrangements so she can tie her dog up and come to the temple and associate with the devotees, right? Actually, here, you're sitting in the middle of a gold mine. You have no idea. Because all the people around here, since Srila Prabhupada established Radha Balava and Gauranitai and Lord Jagannath, this place has become so purified. But you don't realize it until you go out and actually approach the people, like yesterday. We were walking down the ocean, Navina and Satchinandan. They had the books, little book, and everywhere he goes he's got a book. That's the connection, right? The book is the connection. Because that's our seva, to give people an opportunity to come to the ultimate goal of life. That is why Srila Prabhupada is the ocean of mercy, we call every day, Koruna Sindhu. You look at that ocean out there, you see how much water is there? Well, just think of that as mercy, compassion. And all the jivas can be submersed in that ocean. That is the blessings of the Vaishnavas on human society. And Srila Prabhupada, he is giving out that mercy continuously in the form of this shiksha. the Gita, the Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, all of these little books, that's Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And the mercy that he is giving to us, we should give to others. And that comes in the form of these books. You know, one time in Paris, Bhagavan Prabhu was talking to some politician, or it was in Switzerland, Paris or Switzerland, and giving him a lecture, and Prabhupada said, "What is the use of your talking for so many? Did he get a book? Give him the book." And this one man was saying yesterday at the bookstall, he said, I'll get it on e-book. I said, there is a difference. The difference is, books last. Could be a solar flare tomorrow, and everything on the computers is wiped clean. And then what we have? We have books. Right? They're in written form, the granthas. So the book is very valuable. Prabhupada wanted the books. Because a book can go into a person's home, it is the non-different than Krishna. They see that book is emanating. It's the deity. So it is calling them. It is purifying their house. It is calling them. And they, when they are ready, they will pick that book up. Like I received a magazine. I didn't read it till 1 year later. I read one article. After reading that article on the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, I chanted for 3 days and three nights, didn't drink a drop of water, and the fourth day I was in the temple. I said, I'm here to join. That's the power of the book. So when we were out on the walk, Satchananda, he approached this one person. He was, I think, in a Muslim body. His conception was of the Muslim. And he touched the book. But then he said, actually, I'm forbidden to read this book. So he didn't take it. But he got to the point of being able to touch it. That's the first step. The first step. He had the good fortune of touching the book and hearing the name Krishna. Krishna. Namna makari bahuda nija sarva shakti. All energy is there in the holy name of Krishna. So this morning, I'm walking down the road to the temple. This man on this corner house opened the door of his garage. He was putting garbage. He turned around. He's an old man, maybe about 70 years old. And he looks at me and he says, with folded hands, Hare Krishna. I'm looking at this man and I'm thinking, my God, you know, this person is reminding me of Krishna. And what these devotees have done in this area, that these people are taking the holy name of Krishna. What Srila Prabhupada has done, it's unimaginable. You are sitting in a gold mine. You don't know who is around you here, just outside your door. Right? So you should try to realize what these people are. They're looking for, they're favorable to Krishna. They're appreciating. Prabhupada said, the first point, appreciation. From that appreciation, they're appreciating the movement. That is your good service to Srila Prabhupada and to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because when you act as a human being, and when we live this philosophy, when we live it, not just keep it here, but when we actually practically apply it, we will see the value of this philosophy. In this verse, the purport of this verse is simple living. To live simply. Reduce the unnecessary things in your life. Just take the things that are absolutely necessary to keep the body and the soul together, fit for seva, and utilize the rest of your time for devotional activities. If you hear the name sincerely, then you'll want to naturally go out and give the name to others. Same thing, this man we saw, he's a businessman, maybe also about 50, very nicely dressed, walked by, he walked right by us, and then he stopped when he was about 5 feet by us, and he said, "You people are still here?" I said, "Yeah, we've been hiding for 40 years. We just came out of the closet." Meaning, Dodi, Kurta, Tilak, Hare Krishna. And he said, "You people, where have you been? I used to hear the same in New York. Where have you been?" That means he's telling us we should be out more. We should reduce the unnecessary activity so we can go out and do our real business, which is approaching the fallen conditioned souls. Our life should be molded in such a way that we can approach them and that we can show them by our practical lifestyle how to take on a lifestyle that is simple. In other words, self-sufficient. Prabhupada uses the word here, self-sufficient. The Goswamis, there's that story of Sanatana Goswami and his deity, Madan Mohan, he was hanging him in a tree. So one day, Madan Mohan was complaining to Sanatana Goswami, "I would like a little salt. You're offering me this chapati, and I have no salt." And Sanatana Goswami, he said, "My Lord, I'm just a baba. I have nothing. And you want salt now. Maybe I should try to arrange another situation where you have more facility." And then that evening, there was a huge storm and there was a barge on the Jamuna. And the owner of that barge, it got stuck on the banks and he came up, if you see where the Madan Mohan temple is located, it's on a very high hill overlooking the Jamuna. So the Jamuna actually was running right below that hill. So the person came up and he was saying, "I'm a little bit in trouble. Our boat has got stuck. We have a valuable cargo on it. And we're afraid that the dacoits might come and steal that." What was that cargo? Salt. It was going to Mathura. So Sanatana Goswami arranged for protection, and the next day the boat was taken and the salt was sold. The owner came back and he said, "I want to give you a donation to build a temple for your Thakurji, Madan Mohan." And that's the Madan Mohan temple. Right? But Sanatana Goswami, how was he living? Under a different tree. Right? And what was he giving? What was he utilizing his time for? It wasn't for going out making money to buy a cell phone or a new car or the latest gizmo and gadget or a new dhoti or whatever. His time was totally being utilized for writing very valuable literatures. That's culture. That's civilization. That is civilization. India is being enhanced or allured by all of these so-called necessities of life. People are thinking we're progressing, but actually it's not in a progressive march. They're becoming distracted. Right? They're making more demand, more, they have no time to pursue the goal of life, which is to engage in activities that are conducive for awakening the soul. So we have to provide the positive alternative, and that positive alternative is one to live very simply and to show how to live simply, how to become self-sufficient. That is the greatest challenge. If you take care of cows properly, they will show you the way. If you take care of cows properly, the cows will show you the way back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada, when he came to the Western world, he was very much concerned that we develop the self-sufficient communities with the cows in the center. He was so happy when we were producing our own milk. Now the dilemma in Vrindavan, the Goswamis who live around us, they come to me because I have milk, because I have my own cows. And they ask, can you sell us milk? I said, I don't sell milk. What do you do with your milk? Well, whatever we have, we take, offer to Thakurji, and whatever's left over, we turn it into ghee. And that ghee we store and we use for the service of the deity. So we have our own milk. Now, if you want to get milk in Vrindavan, you might get Ayur shampoo mixed with soya oil, mixed with sugar, mixed with a little bit of milk and water. And that is the formula. It comes out of some IIT school. Some IIT graduate figured out the formula how to make milk. Something that looks like milk, right? But there's no milk in it at all. And they're selling it. And they know there is no pure cow's milk in Vrindavan. Very, very little. Only with the people who have their own cows. Now you think about that. Vrindavan, no cow's milk. No cows. You see everywhere water buffalo. So that is how things are moving. So that Prabhupada said in the 70s in Calcutta there was no milk. That was in the 70s. What to speak of now? So who here drinks milk? Put up your hand. Who here has their own cow? Ah, Ma, you have your own cow? Where do you keep her?
On the farm.
Where is the farm?
In Denton.
In?
Denton.
Very nice. See, so we have one person that has a cow. Right, cows. So think about that. Why all of us don't have cows, our own cows? Well, we live in the city. But that's all right. You can live in the city, take the resources that you are accumulating here and get a piece of land in a community and have your cows. You will see this community will flourish beyond your imagination. Because why? All the devatas are located in the body of the cow. How many devatas are there? 33 crore. So you don't have to have your altar full of, as Naveena was saying the other day, the shotgun concept. Just to have one cow. And from that cow, all the devatas are satisfied. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. Go comes before Brahman. Why? Without the cow, it's not possible to have the Brahminical community. Why? No brain. No ghee for yajna. Where are you going to get the ghee from to light your fire? If you don't have the cow. We must not forget these very simple things, because they will lead us to the path of perfection. The name will become prominent in our lives when we the name is a culture. It involves a culture. Krishna consciousness is a culture. It involves many, many facets. And it's ultimately meant, that culture is ultimately meant to remind us of Krishna. So at the time when we are departing this machine, we're able to remember Krishna. That is the final test. And not that the mind is full of so many other things that will ultimately distract us from that. We have to purify the mind, the heart, cheto darpana marjanam. We have to purify the consciousness of all these unnecessary things, anartas, that are covering us, from the gross to the subtle. But the cow is extremely important in our culture. And I've seen that that is a tremendous challenge. The cow and the bull together, there's two, not just one, two. So the bull means we eliminate all the unnecessary machinery. As Srila Prabhupada was telling Nityananda in the farm in New Orleans, he went out to the farm and he was asking Nityananda, what are you growing here? And he said, this is grass, sugar cane, blah, blah. He said, and what is the grass for? He said, that's for the cows. And what are the sugar cane for? We make sugar and then whatever else we give to the cows. And then Srila Prabhupada said, where is the food for the human beings? Where is your meat? Where are the grains, the anna? Because the human being needs anna, chapati, right? Or rice. If you're from Bengal, it's rice. If you're from northern India, it's chapati. From south India, it's rice. But where's the anna? He wasn't growing it. The Prophet said, you must grow it. And then he looked at this tractor and he said, why is the tractor not being utilized? And he said, well, we don't need it right now. He said, if you don't use it, it will rust. And if it rusts, you can't use it and you can't sell it. So he said, if you're not using it, sell it. What are you doing with your bulls? Well, we're training them. So the Prophet said, train the bulls. Use the bulls. Don't become dependent upon these machines. You may, in the beginning, need them, but you must train the bulls. Simple lifestyle. Can you imagine what type of energy it takes to put all of these mechanical vehicles on the road? Think about it. How many parts in a car? 12,000? How many?
Over
10,000. 10,000 parts in a car. Every one of them will break down. Right? So how much energy does it take to put that car together on the road? So Prabhupada said, okay, you get from point A to point B in 1 hour, but the risk of dying is very high. The risk of dying is very high. If you take a bullet cart, it takes 1 day. So he said, what is the problem? But we have become wrapped up in a particular lifestyle that is demanding of us that we get to that point A to point B in 1 hour. So we take all the unnecessary risks. And that's called progress. We are risking that which is most valuable to us, the human form of life. And that is explained here also. So simplicity, simple living. How to come down to that platform of simple living. Purifying the name Namakari Bhavda, Nijasarva Shakti, Shakti, that all the potency is there in the name of Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. O Lord, please engage me in your service. Give me seva. Give me seva so that I will become purified to the point where I understand who I am. I am not this material body. I have nothing to do with this material world. How much misconception is dwelling within me that I'm identifying with the machine that I'm riding around in? I totally identify with it. I'm under the misconception of this machine, this yantra. I'm simply riding in it. Well, who am I? Have we understood that point? We are labeling, we are identifying with the machine. These are very basic principles. We have not become free of them. They cause us hindrance on the path of devotion. When we look at it, at the tree today, I was passing one tree, there was a garland on it up the road. And I was like, who was that jiva in that tree that was able to get the garland of the Supreme Personality of Godhead wrapped around him? Very fortunate. The other day we were in the botanical gardens and we were looking at these different trees that were there. There was a banyan tree, so very beautiful banyan tree. Then there was a tree that was giving off this bark. So it was being said here, what is the necessity of clothing when you can take the bark of the tree and dress in the bark of the tree? And I immediately, when I read that, my mind went to that particular tree. I was thinking, yeah, it's actually a fact. It can be done. In other words, the idea was to reduce our entanglement and maximize our activities for freedom. So we should see that everywhere. We should analyze our life very carefully and try to reduce the things that are not necessary, that are not advantageous for our progressive march back to home. And in this civilization, that is a challenge. That is a very, very, very great challenge, because we are swimming upstream. We are going against the tide. The tide of modern civilization, so-called civilization, is moving in one direction, and we are moving in the opposite. We are like the salmon spawning. They travel but all upstream. So it is like that. So it requires, it's very difficult to do it on your own. Just like any type of activity, like trying to move towards self-sufficiency. If you have that goal in your mind, to do it on your own is very difficult. Extremely difficult. To do it in a community, much easier. It's like Prabhupada said, one stick easily broken, many sticks bound together, difficult to break. So therefore, the value of our association is very, and every person has a particular talent that can be used in the service of Krishna. It's just to remind us of the necessities of life. Wake up! So the association, good association, that will remind us of what the goal is. That is so valuable to us. Our Gurudev used to say that the most valuable thing that you have is the association of your contemporaries. Because when you're going in the opposite direction or in the wrong direction, they can remind you, hey, Prabhu, please. Right? Very important. When the external energy is affecting you in a negative way, it's like divide and rule. Maya's job, divide and rule. So she'll take us away. That influence will take us away from the association of devotees. And we'll become isolated. And in that isolated condition, very difficult. Very difficult. But when you're in a community, then the community helps you. That's why when you go to India and you live in India. India is a very personal place. Where, you know, they're immediately everybody's interested in what you're doing. Right? They're very curious, right? So they're very interested. Here in the West, if somebody comes and looks at what you, they get, you know, what are you doing? You're entering into my space. Right? Don't approach me. Right? But in India, it's like, oh, come on, you know. Okay, what's going on, you know? Everybody knows. No secrets in Vrindavan. It's very helpful. Because the environment helps you in that way. Keep your direction. They'll remind you. You shouldn't do it like this. Very helpful. So that's personalism. Srila Prabhupada was very, very personal. He was very concerned about the devotees, you know, if their health was not good. In Hawaii, Prabhupada wrote certain points about what he considered very important, and on the top of the list, health. Because without good health, how can you do service? So without proper food, how can you have good health? Without proper regulation, how can you have good health? So again, I come down to this point. How many of us know what we're eating? It's prasad. But do we know what the ingredients of that prasadam, where they come from, how they're being, like, so many things, vegetables or fruits, what they're being injected with, or what they're being, what's being sprayed on them, what seeds, these GMO foods, what they're, how they're actually affecting our life? We have no idea. The people who manufacture them, they know, because they're in touch with it. They work together with the pharmaceutical companies. So when we eat that poison, then we get sick. And they have the medicine to temporarily keep us on a particular level. But that means pay, pay, pay. So why is there inflation? Why is prices going up? Because we are becoming dependent on a resource that we are not in control of. So they have a monopoly. In other words, if you're growing wheat and you're growing wheat and you're growing wheat, then what is the question of selling wheat to somebody who already has it? But if you don't have it, then I can demand the price that I want for it. That's what's happening. That's why prices are rising. Gasoline that's running these machines, who controls it? So you pay the price. They can raise it or whenever they want, and you have to pay the price for that, and then everything else goes up. So that's why when you get entangled in this type of situation, you just end up working more and more and more and more to have the same. So the simple life becomes near impossible. And people will say, how can I live a simple life? It's because we've become attached, or we've put ourselves in this particular type of situation. So these city temples, they're meant for preaching. They're meant for propagating Krishna consciousness. And the rural communities are meant for our life. We are meant to live in these type of situations. That's a challenge. That's probably the greatest challenge that's facing our society, without a doubt. Because we're too much dependent. And we have no control over the things that I call it the very simple, the chapati philosophy, chapati principle. He who has the chapati rules, and he who doesn't, he doesn't lead. So whoever's holding the chapati, he's the ruler. Because in the end result is you have to have food to eat to exist. It's a very simple philosophy. Simple living. That's why Prabhupada wanted us to live very simply. And that's why all these great saints and acharyas, our line is a line of great acharyas. Our disciplic succession is great paramahansas. Right? And they showed us the way. That is the culture of Bharat, of India. That is the glory of India, the acharyas. They have given light to the whole of human society. And we are to take their example seriously, because they are guiding us. Srila Prabhupada was guiding us. He was showing us the way to live. He was raising us out of the depths of this ignorance. And he was showing us practically how to live a proper life. And we should follow that. And if we do, we will be successful. And if we don't, we will not survive. That is a reality. Right? And it requires training. Even Srila Prabhupada gives a very interesting point. He said, if one is not accustomed to abiding by the life of renunciation and self-abnegation from the beginning, Prabhupada says, from the beginning, one should try to get into the habit at a later stage of life. So whatever point we come, but we should try to evolve into that. We should not put that on the back burner. We should try to evolve into that. So we should analyze individually and collectively our situation and try to move towards that. We should have an objective. Like what the communists in Russia had, they're like a 5-year plan. So at the end of 5 years, we want to be here. At the end of 10 years, we want to be here. So at the end of 5 years, everybody in this room should have a cow. Or a book bag. Right? But that's the goal. To be able to maintain. Because when we go out and give the books, when we go out and preach, we want to show them the practical, positive lifestyle. Because if we don't, they will say, what's the difference between you and us? You're driving the car, I'm driving the car. You listen to the mobile, I'm listening to the mobile. You're watching television, I'm watching television. Right? So what is the difference? We say, we're doing it for Krishna. And then they say, well, 24/7, you're doing it for Krishna. So they say, well, come and live with us and see. So we must be truthful. And we must try to exemplify the proper lifestyle of the human being. Are there any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
One of the challenges is found in the West is in establishing rural communities. It's very difficult to find devotees who want to live.
You're right. We have become enslaved by technology. The switch, tick, tick. Everything is at your fingertips, tick, tick. Right? That's it. That's as much exercise as we get. You know. Right? Tick, tick. Right? So you're right. First of all, we must recognize that situation. We must become aware of how we have become conditioned. And we must show by practical example. Again, probably, again, I go to this point. We should try to get into the habit even at a later stage of life, as recommended by Srila Sukadeva Goswami. So it doesn't matter, whatever stage we come, from the very beginning, we should be teaching our children. We should be training our children how to live this simple lifestyle. We should be looking down the road. The ladies should be, you see, the ladies in the village in India, they have a very, very important role. The whole village evolves around the ladies, really. You see what type of work they do in the village? I had one calf that was attacked by dogs in the middle of the night, Kalindi. And she was wounded very, very severely. So, I've had very bad experience with modern veterinarian medicine. They don't know what they're doing. It's all, you know, my experience with them, and I've been working with cows for about 20 years in Vrindavan. For the most part, they kill the cows, their medicine. So one of our local people went into the field and picked a flower, a little herb. It was about this big. Had a little white flower on it. Took the leaves off, ground it up in the hand, and said, apply this on the cuts. So I did that. In one day, deep gashes were completely healed in the cow. And I thought, this is granny wisdom, what we call granny wisdom, village wisdom. Person didn't know how to read, write, no facility for modern education. But this herb, they knew. And this situation saved the life of that calf. So all the schools that are promoting this so-called modern medicine, veterinarian medicine, couldn't save that calf. But this person, with no education, totally illiterate, because of culture, because of what is handed down for thousands of years, went and just took that little herb, showed me how to grind, put it on the cut, calf is saved. So this culture is being lost quickly. We have to preserve that culture. We have to go and learn. So the little children, they should learn from these. The older people, where are the older people being put? They're being put in old age homes. So all of their wisdom is, we're being restricted from it. That's the modern system. They're no longer in the family. They're not kept in the family. So their wisdom is being lost. Isolate them. Don't allow that ancient wisdom to come back, to come in. That's also a plan. So all of these things, this is part of our culture. So as you were saying, to get the people to do the work, we have to first of all see the necessity of it. Because if we don't do it, we will not survive. We will be caught up with all... When they cut the circuit breaker, we'll be left hanging if we don't have the alternative. And they can do that. These Rakshasas, they can do that. And they will do it. Prabhupada said the world is being run by man-eating Rakshasas. Man-eating. He didn't say cow-eating, he said man-eating. So there's not a, we should be very conscious that these people who are trying to direct the civilization are not favorable to God consciousness. They want a monopoly on everything. They want to control every facet of your life. So if we don't expend the energy, make the necessary, see the necessity of doing this, then we will be caught. And it, you're right, it's a challenge. It's a tremendous challenge that's facing us. There are a few examples in our society of self-sufficiency. We have the farms, the land is sitting there, we just don't have the participation. But we should make a plan to evolve into that. So we're not caught when the crunch comes down.
Thank you. Could you share your memories of
Srila Prabhupada?
Srila Prabhupada, when you met him and your experiences with him?
My first meeting with Srila Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan. And it was a... I had been distributing books for maybe about 8 months. And I was, you know, totally absorbed in that service. I would pray every day to Srila Prabhupada. When I would go out in Sankta, we had this book, it was a little pamphlet called On Chanting, Vishnu Jan Swami was on the cover of it, and on the back, it was about the chanting of the Maha Mantra. So I would run up and down Yonge Street in Toronto, in the middle of winter with my dhoti, and on the snow, with this little pamphlet. And on the back was Srila Prabhupada. And I was just praying to Srila Prabhupada to give me the intelligence, the energy, the enthusiasm to distribute this literature. So when I first met Srila Prabhupada in New Vrindavan, the temple was packed in front of Radha Vrindavan Chandra. And Prabhupada entered, and he offered his obeisances, and there was a clearing right behind Srila Prabhupada, and I was standing right behind Prabhupada, and I just, Prabhupada paid full dandavats, and I paid full dandavats and put my head right on Prabhupada's feet. That was my first meeting with Srila Prabhupada. And then, in every other instance that I met Srila Prabhupada, it was, especially in the West, was all in relationship to book distribution. One time, one very notable time, it was in the Denver airport, and Srila Prabhupada was just entering into the airport, and there was a huge kirtan, And everybody was glued on Srila Prabhupada. And I was distributing a Krishna book to this one gentleman, Jai Ho. Prabhupada was coming through, all the devotees were dancing in ecstasy. And I said, I turned the book over, and there's a big picture of Srila Prabhupada smiling there. And I pointed to this picture of Prabhupada and I said, "You see this man?" And the man was looking at it. And I said, "There he is." And the man was like completely taken aback. And Prabhupada came, walked right up, and he had a big smile on his face. That was something that was very, very special to me, because that was our service to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada gave some recognition for that service and encouragement. And then everywhere we met Srila Prabhupada, there was always so much enthusiasm on the part of the devotees. Like in the one very, very notable situation was the first Rath Yatra in New York. So that was such a glorious, there was about maybe 1,000 devotees, 100 vans. They were all moving in the front of the parade. Then there was the three cars, and Prabhupada got on the chariot, and the place was just wild with enthusiasm. New York City was frozen because it was right down Fifth Avenue. The city was literally frozen. All eyes were on the carts, Lord Jagannath, Subhadra, and Baladev. And the devotees were just floating off the ground. It was so much enthusiasm. And on either side of the sidewalks, everybody was glued to Srila Prabhupada and the carts. And we got to Union Square. There was a lot of opposition also. The Christians were out in full force. But that was, Prabhupada said, "Today we have conquered New York." Right? And he was sitting on after that, he was sitting on the top of the West 55th building. And Srila Prabhupada was sitting there, and I think Madhavis, it might have been Madhavis Maharaj at the time, said, "Srila Prabhupada, we have such a big building." And Prabhupada was looking, and he said, "Not so big." And he said, "We should get that building." And he was pointing to the Empire State Building. So Srila Prabhupada, his idea, everything, he knew everything belonged to Krishna. And everything was for Krishna. And everything was, he used everything in the service of Krishna. I come back to that point. In Mayapur, where Prabhupada said, "This hut, this mud hut, this is for me, and those buildings are for you." So Srila Prabhupada saw everything that was Krishna, everything to be used for Krishna, and for himself, he required very little. As in Orissa, when he stayed with Gaur Govinda Maharaj, he stayed in the mud hut. And Prabhupada was extremely happy there. Gaur Govinda Maharaj also lived very, very simply. So that is they exuberated the life of actually a real sadhu. Right? And that was our experience of Srila Prabhupada my experience of trying to serve Srila Prabhupada was always in relationship in the Western world with the book distribution. And Prabhupada was always encouraging us in that direction. We were part of the BBT party, so that party was formed specifically for distributing Prabhupada's books, and all the profits from that party went directly into the building of Mayapur and Vrindavan and Bombay. And Prabhupada was very, he created a situation where he wanted that this book distribution go on. And I see my realization of what Prabhupada, especially because the first meeting with Prabhupada was in that situation in New Vrindavan, was in a rural community, because I was brought up very much exposed to rural life. So that very much, that attracted me a lot. I never lived in a city except for when I was preaching Krishna consciousness in relationship to our movement. Because the cities, they're a place for preaching. Prabhupada said, actually, the Western world, his comments on the Western world, is for one of two things, either for preaching or for Maya. He didn't cut us much space, right, much slack on that one. And he said, if you come to the Western world, you must preach, right? Otherwise, you will get absorbed because it is so, the material energy is so powerful. So you have to preach here to protect yourself. And that's why Prabhupada set up these extremely, extremely intense preaching programs which were centered around book distribution. And when he came to India, similarly, when we went to Hyderabad with Srila Prabhupada, and we had these Pandal programs, every night Prabhupada, there was no less than 10,000 people. And the center of that was Prabhupada would speak for like 40 minutes, it was kirtan, and then it was Harinam Sankirtan. Prabhupada had us do Harinam Sankirtan in the streets of Hyderabad. Wherever Prabhupada went, Sankirtan, 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 book distribution, Sankirtan, preaching, non-stop, preaching, preaching, preaching. Right? It was just, he was a dynamo, an avesha of Nityananda, empowered by Lord Nityananda to spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. Right? You think that Prabhupada, when he came to the West, at what age he came, and generally at that time a person is retiring. Prabhupada was beginning. And when he was living in Vrindavan in the Radha Damodar temple, his life was extremely simple. I mean, he had a bicycle, and he would get around sometimes on a bicycle, and that bicycle was an old rickety bicycle, and they recognized Prabhupada when he was coming by the sound of this bicycle. Right? And he would go to Delhi, his publication work, Back to Godhead. And he would go and he would distribute his magazines in Delhi. Now Delhi has 16 temples. I probably was trying to distribute a few magazines there. And now in the Christmas marathon, they distribute 600,000 Bhagavad Gita's in December. Right, Gopal Krishna Maharaj has organized a tremendous army of devotees based around preaching. So the same thing can be taken here. These cities are meant for preaching. And book distribution is the weapons, is the bullets, the shells. So wherever you go, you should present some transcendental literature, because that will change the hearts of the conditioned souls. But then again I say, then in Hyderabad, a farm was donated, and we went with Prabhupada to that land with the Hyderabad farm. So Prabhupada simultaneously was doing both, establishing temples in the cities for preaching and the farms, hand in hand. They went hand in hand. The farms cannot be neglected. It's so important. We have to realize the importance of these farms. They like two tracks going down simultaneously. So here you have a very wonderful congregation of very, very nice devotees. I'm so happy to be here. I know Prabhupada is so happy that this place is going on. So much enthusiasm. So many people came last night for kirtan, very beautiful archan deity worship. very nice devotees. Prabhupada, this is pleasing to the spiritual master. But we have to increase. And that especially this rural communities, this rural, like you were saying, the challenge, it's a great challenge. And that's what I saw in Prabhupada's life. These two things very much influenced me in Prabhupada's. One was the book distribution, the necessity of the book distribution, and the second was the rural communities. These two things were the impression that have been very much created by Srila Prabhupada in my life. Any other points, questions? So we want to, next time we, if we ever come to Australia, we want to see all the ladies churning butter. We do that, actually. I demonstrate that in my farm in Vrindavan, because whatever milk we don't use, and I turn it into yogurt, and I actually churn it myself with a churning rod. I make butter and then I make ghee, and I show people the process, how to do that. That is the proper way, the proper process. And when you get that ghee can be stored for, you know, hundreds of years, actually. The older the ghee gets, the better it is. They say that ghee that is 100 years old can cure any disease. But it has to be made from yogurt. And it should be made from your own cows, the cows that have affection for you. Because what that milk is, that is their affection for you. The cow, I have one cow, Ganga. And she was, Ganga and Jamuna were my first two cows. And Ganga, she lets me take milk directly from her udder. So I do that because the cow is our mother. And she'll just look at me, right? Just like a child. And she is so affectionate to me. And when I drink that milk, I think of her. And I have not been sick in Vrindavan for one day in 20 years. And that's because of the cows. So, I want to see all you ladies churning butter when I come back next time. Okay? That is possible. It is a wonderful activity. And when you prepare a ghee, the smell of that ghee, it is so aromatic. There is nothing like it. And when you cook with that and you offer it to Thakurji with devotion, so pleasing. My Giriraj, he demands that. He demands that. He demands fresh cow's milk every day. I promised him when I brought him from Govardhan that I would provide fresh cow's milk every day for him. And he provided Jamuna. Jamuna is my Vasagai. Does anybody know what a Vasagai is? A Vasagai is a guy that has never had a calf, but gives you milk. So, when Ganga gave her first child, and his Gopal, he's a strapping bull. He's the pride of the Vrindavan herd. Beautiful bull, very huge. He has a neck on him like about this big, right? You embrace him, he's like, you can see, he's Dharma. So when Gopal stopped taking milk from Ganga, when the time was finished, so there was no more milk for Giriraj, Jamuna, her half-sister, I don't know what it was, but Kormarupa came like that. She was just drying up, and Kormarupa came and he looked at Jamuna's milk bag and he said, "It looks like she's got milk on her." No, I said, "Well, how is it possible? She's never been impregnated, right?" And he said he started to milk her, and milk started coming out. That was 5 years ago. She has not stopped giving milk every day for 5 years. And that milk we offered to Giriraj every day. So he kept my promise. And that milk is a Kamadhenugai. People have come from all over the world to get her darshan. And whatever they desire in the realm of devotion, even sometimes, maybe not, but in devotional, but she fulfills her desires, their desires. So she's a very special. Indra Dumna Maharaj, he comes often to get her association. He told me, he said, "Prabhu, she's captured me. I cannot forget her. Wherever I go, I just think about Jamuna." I said, "Maharaj, she has her own way. Right? She has her own, you know, she has her own fan club. She's on Facebook. She has..." one man came from Delhi. He's got 5,000 recipients on Facebook, and he put her on Facebook. I said, "Jamuna, you wouldn't..." And she's... They're all different personalities. Because that's why when you have cows, you don't understand. Anyways, you should all get a cow. That is Shri Prabhupada ki jai.